ज्ञाना वैराग्य युक्तेन भक्ति युक्तेन च आत्मना परिपश्यति उदासीन प्रकृतिं च हत ओजसम् ज्ञान वैराग्य युक्तेन ज्ञान वैराग्य युक्तेन भक्ति युक्तेन चात्मना भक्ति युक्तेन चात्मनः परिपश्यदुदासीनम् परिपश्यति उदासीनम् प्रकृतिं च हतोजसम् प्रकृतिं च हतोजसम् ज्ञानवैराग्ययुक्तेन ज्ञानवैराग्ययुक्तेन भक्तियुक्तेन चात्मना भक्तियुक्तेन चात्मना परिपश्य उदासीनम् परिपश्यति उदासीनम् प्रकृतिं च हतोजसम् प्रकृतिं च हतोजसम् ज्ञानवैराग्ययुक्तेन भक्तियुक्तेन चात्मना परिपश्यदुदासीनम् परिपश्यति दासीनम् प्रकृतिं च हतोजसम् प्रकृतिं च हतोजसम् ज्ञानवैराग्ययुक्तेन भक्तियुक्तेन चात्मनः परिपश्यति उदासीनम् प्रकृतिं च हतोजसम् ज्ञान नॉलेज वैराग्य प्रोनंसिएशन युक्तेन इक्विप्ड विथ भक्ति डिवोशनल सर्विस युक्तेन इक्विप्ड विथ cha and atmana by the mind paripashyati one sees udasinam indifferent prakritim material existence cha and hata ojasam reduced in strength. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In that position of self-realization by practice of knowledge and renunciation devotional service, one sees everything in the right perspective. He becomes indifferent to the material existence, and the material influence act less powerfully upon him. Translation response, please. In that position of self-realization, by practice of knowledge and renunciation, in devotional service, one sees everything in the right perspective. He becomes indifferent to material existence. And the material influence act less powerfully upon him. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As the contamination of the germ of the particular disease can influence a weaker person, similarly, the influence of material nature or the illusory energy can act on the weaker or conditioned soul, but not on the liberated soul. Self-realization is the position of the liberated state. One understands his spiritual position by knowledge and vairagya, a renunciation. Without knowledge, one cannot have realization. The realization that one is an infinitesimal part and parcel of the Supreme Spirit makes him unattached to the material, to a material, conditional life. That is the beginning of the devotional service. Unless one is liberated from the material contamination, one cannot engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. In this verse, therefore, it is stated, jnana vairagya yuktena. When one is in full knowledge of one's constitutional position and is in the renounced order of life, detached from the material attraction, then by that pure devotional service, bhakti yuktena, he can engage himself as a loving service to the Lord. Paripashyati means that he can see everything in right perspective. The influence of material nature becomes almost nil. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. When one is self-realized, he becomes happy and free from the influence of material nature. And at that time, he is free from the lamentation and hankering. The Lord states that the position as Brahma Mad Bhaktim Lavate Param, the real state of beginning of devotional service. Similarly, it is confirmed in the Narada Panchratna that when the senses are purified, they can then be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. One who is attached to the material contamination cannot be a devotee. Om Jnanatimirantasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuran Militanmena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakhamitam Sha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpataru vyascha kripa sindhu vevacha patitanam pavane vyo vaisnave vyo namo namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Jnana vairagya yuktena bhakti yuktena chatmana. Paripasitudasenam prakritim cha hatojasam. In that position of self-realization, by practice of knowledge and renunciation devotional service, one sees everything in the right perspective. It becomes indifferent to the material existence, and the material influence acts less powerfully upon him. So here, Lord Kapila is instructing Mother Devahuti. So thus far, Karadaya Muni has left. He has taken the order of sannyas, and then he has gone to his practice, his devotion service. And Mother Devahuti is being looked after by Lord Kapila Dev, who is Lord Krishna himself. Just imagine her fortune. I don't think so many of us or any of us has that fortune of having a Lord at home and then being looked after by the Lord. So now the Mother Devahuti, knowing this very perfectly, that the Lord Kapila Devi is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's sitting right in front of her. And she's taking this advantage of the presence of the Lord. And she has inquired from the Lord, please instruct me in the spiritual knowledge. Give me the enlightenment of the spiritual instruction. Similar to what we have in the scenario of Bhagavad Gita being spoken. So Lord is there and Arjuna is inquiring. So similar its settings is there. That one is inquiring, the other one is instructing. So in both scenarios there happened to be a Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord here, now this narration is now being heard by Vidura from the great sage Maitreya Muni. So Vidura inquired about the lineage of Swayambhu Manu and this leading to this the Lord Kapila's instruction. The whole purpose of inquiring by Vidura is to come to this point. He knows that Lord has instructed. He's instructed the philosophy of Sankhya. So one of the purpose is to bring that knowledge or to hear about that knowledge what Lord personally has spoken to Devahuti. So now next 7 or 8 chapters is being instructed. The instructions given to Devahuti by Lord Kapila Dev is such a wonderful instruction. So we'll come to study this narration. So Lord just begin to speak from the text 13 of this chapter. And today we are doing text 18. So Lord begins to instruct Devahuti, that yoga, the very first instruction Lord Kapila Dev gave to, began instruction, is the yoga which relates to the Supreme Lord and the individual souls is the highest. That's in text 13, that's just what Lord Krishna. So now immediately this is the instruction, the spiritual knowledge begins with the soul and a spiritual soul, spirit and matter. So that is the beginning of the instruction. So immediately the yoga or the link between the supreme and the soul is begins with the soul and the super soul or the our Bhagavan. That which is causes the detachment from the happiness and distress. So, and this the further he instructs, so that's why he instructs us, the stage which is the consciousness of the living entity is attracted by a three mode is called conditioned life. So the attachment or the enjoyment or we have is anything that's within the three modes, that is called a conditioned life. It still keeps you on this material world. The attraction to Krishna consciousness of liberation. So liberation is there's a condition which you are bound, and there's a liberation. That is, look, and in the text 15, Lord Kapila they said that the attraction to Krishna or Krishna consciousness is the liberation. Then we just the other day we heard from the Gopavindaspu very nicely explained in text 16 that the one needs to be free from lust, greed, and I and my. That is the instruction given just recently in text 16. And that the all this identification of I and everything is for me, my pleasure, that needs to be, we need to be free from that. And today's verse, we are coming to Lord is giving more indication towards the having a knowledge of spiritual knowledge and the detachment. So we'll touch on a few points on the knowledge and vairagya. So knowledge, we can see it. There's two types of knowledge. We could put it in a broad category: knowledge of the material knowledge and the knowledge of spiritual knowledge. Material knowledge we can consist of when we learning how to read, write, science, math, mathematics, physics. So this is all we could put it into a knowledge of material knowledge. Still needed. We still have to pay the bills. We have to go and work. And that is what's required for us to earn some money. That is also needed, yes. I have to have that knowledge. And so these knowledge, now that this is what the modern society or modern days is giving us focus, so much focus is that this is it. It doesn't go any further than this knowledge, which is all comes up to body, mind, senses. How to enjoy, how to make you happy, how to improve the things, how to live comfortably. That is all comes to the material. There are also knowledge of, I mean, how to live in the country. Suppose you are in Australia, you have to know the basic laws of the country. And there is, if you go a little further, then this becomes gross. And then there is also knowledge, you can say, in the mode of ignorance. There is knowledge of how to create a mass weapons or a drug or alcohol. It's still knowledge, still have to know how to do it, right? But there's more like a mode of ignorance kind of knowledge. There will be knowledge that how to make the life comfortable. You'll create a car, vehicle, or airplane, or something that is just a, you know, just to make your body, gives the comfort of the body. That is the mode of passion. Even subtler or higher is those who people who are studying the nature. You know, you go, you study the nature, the plants, the water, the hill. So that there is a chance. They probably say, okay, learning all this very, such a great creation of God, there's a chance that they will say, okay, look at this wonderful creation. Even looking for a plant. From a plant, there's a little tiny seed, goes into a ground, and then it grows into a massive tree. It gives you a fruit. So there is a chance of saying, hang on, this is all this. It's a wonderful. Who created it? So there's a chance of putting, understanding there is a creator behind this. Or there's some sort of higher nature that looks and controls this. And so this is the knowledge we could put it into a material knowledge. Then we can go, there's Vedic knowledge. Yeah, the knowledge which is Vedas, Puranas, they are, the Vedas gives you it is the knowledge that gives you how to live in this material world. This is comes from Vedas, comes from Krishna, ultimately, and then it's kind of law book for mankind. That is the Vedas. The Vedas culminates like 108 Upanishads, 18 Puranas, Mahabharata. There's vast knowledge that is the Vedic knowledge. They deal both the material and the spiritual. They give us how to live in this world, how to, if you have a desire to enjoy, You can do certain activities, rituals, performance, yajna, tapasya. You can promote yourself to higher planets, so on and so forth. This vast knowledge is in the Veda, Veda knowledge, which is given in the Vedas. And these knowledge are studied by our great saintly personalities, rishis, munis, acharyas. They learn, they study these. And they they give us the conclusion. Our acharyas, like Goswamis, six Goswamis, they studied all this very vast knowledge and put it into a what is the conclusion? The conclusion is to serve the Supreme Personality God, Krishna. That is the conclusion. But they have put so much effort going into all this different knowledge and put it in for us to for our benefit, people in general. And excuse me. And there is a different kind of knowledge that is a, you can call it revealed knowledge. Yeah. So revealed knowledge is that Krishna is, so there's book knowledge, Vedas, Puranas, and you receive the instruction from different teachers, that kind of knowledge. And a different type of knowledge is the revealed knowledge, that Krishna, within your heart, reveals the knowledge. The modern day example we could see, our Gorkhasudas Das Babaji Maharaj. Now Gorkhasudas Das Babaji Maharaj is completely illiterate. He didn't know how to write, read. Yeah. Yet he was able to discuss and for hours on discuss the Krishna Katha with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur is vast learned in Vedic knowledge. He knows, he has studied all these Vedic scriptures thoroughly. And I mean, so the comparison between Gorkhasudas Das Babaji Maharaj and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, if you look at it materially, it's a difference, huge difference. But yet, they used to sit there for hours on and discuss Krishna Katha. So where is that knowledge coming from to Gorkhasudas Das Babaji Maharaj? This is revealed knowledge. Yeah. And if we, in Mayapur, we have a house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Godrudum, just across the Jalangi. And there, in that house, there's also a little bhajan kuti of Gorkhasudas Das Babaji Maharaj there. There they used to sit and discuss this Krishna Katha. And in this verse, it is mentioned that, so when the devotee is, for them, everything becomes indifference. Yeah. When I say indifference, means that for them it doesn't really matter where they are, how, but all that matters, they don't see any difference. Like again, the Gorkhasudas Babaji Maharaj, he was such a saintly personality that people in general, this is just a general practice in India, that they go to the saintly personalities and ask for a benediction or some sort of, you know, give me a benediction. So he used to get bothered by different merchants or different personalities coming into him and approaching him for... So he felt that his bhajan is being disrupted and he doesn't get time. He had to deal with these mundane persons. So what he used to do, he used to go into he used to hide himself, going into actually to the, sit in the toilet. Imagine, I mean, the toilet is not generally, it's a place to, you're going to do a bhajan. But he was disturbed, and so he said, okay, for him, it did not make any difference. He was sitting there in the toilet and doing a bhajan. So that becomes like indifference. It doesn't matter where they are. Yeah, they can sit in a beautiful temple and chant and be Krishna, or they're sitting in the toilet. Still, for them, for they are still the bhajan they have done doesn't make any difference. So they become equipoised, indifference, udasina. This is the word. I mean, the word is used here is udasina. So for them, is no difference. Yeah. And so, like another example, we could say it is the example of sun. Sun is there, and then when the sun is there, you have to one opens the eyes and he can see everything very clearly. Yeah, the sun is compared to a spirit, the Paramatma within giving you knowledge. That's through the assistance or help of the Paramatma, you can see that what is the truth. I can see you, I can see a different color, I can see different things, objects. So similarly, Krishna within himself gives the, that is called revealed knowledge. That is the knowledge we, yeah. And so similarly we have another example in Srimad Bhagavatam is Jadbharat. Jadbharat is the personality in his two lives before. He was the Bharat Maharaj, King Bharat. And he is the great personality. He becomes a deer next life, as because he was, I mean, after he's given his kingdom to his sons and everything, he went to do a devotional service. In the forest, while he was doing devotional service, he got attached to a deer, a baby cub deer. The cub deer was, what had happened was the mother of the deer was crossing a water. It came and it was being chased by a lion. And then while giving a birth, the deer died because of the fear of the lion. And Jadbharat was watching this whole scene. So he saved that, the baby deer, cub deer, and raised it. So while he was raising, and he was also doing his devotional service in the forest, and he got attached to this deer. So when he passed, he left his body. At that time, he became a deer in next life, because he was thinking of a deer at the time of death. But fortunately, he was able to remember his past life. That even he was mentioned in that he was in the bhava bhakti. Bhava is the almost highest bhava, prema, the second last stage of a devotional service. Even from that stage, he was able to, he felt, he became a deer next life. So he remembered. So after the deer life, from deer life, next life, he becomes a Jadbharat. So at that time, he didn't get any material education. He was acting as a dumb. He was like so. The when Jadbharat grew up, he became he was just walking. He's like avadut, traveling, just careless, indifference to anything. Didn't people used to spit at him or used to throw rubbish at him? Or it didn't make any difference. And once the king Rahugana needed somebody to carry his palanquin. So seeing Jadbharat, that he was, you know, healthy, well built, and they asked him to carry the palanquin of a king. So the Jadbharat was still acting completely dumb, indifference to material, any comfort, he didn't really bother him. So Jadbharat, then what happens is when he was carrying the palanquin of King Rahugana, he used to wobble because he's seeing the ants are walking on his path. And he did not want to kill those ants. So while was getting the palanquin was being wobbly, the king was getting upset, and he chastised the Jatvarat. So why are you wobbling? Why are you carrying? Why not carrying straight? Then he began to instruct. He began to speak. The knowledge he shared, he was able to convince the king, and the king later on became his disciple of Jatvarat. So that knowledge, again, it is a revealed knowledge that is coming from Krishna to devotee. So this is another example of that is knowledge that is, Krishna is revealing. So the jnana leads to a vairagya. Unless you have a knowledge of the matter, spirit, and soul, there's no. It's hard to become a vairagi or the renunciate or detachment. Detachment cannot come. Detachment has to be a through the knowledge. Knowledge is support. They go hand in hand. So unless you have a knowledge, you can't be detached. In order to get out of this material world, we have to be detached. That's what's required. It is one of the requirement of if you want to go back to Godhead, you have to be detached from this material world. Yeah. So unless we have a knowledge that the vairag or the detachment cannot come. Does not come. It's supported. So the vairagis also, there's, you could say, two types. One is the person gives up material enjoyment, everything. It could be multiple reasons. One, yes, we have a knowledge that is, we need to be detached from this all. Eventually it's going to be gone. So that is one way of being detached. Another way of being detached is somebody just gets frustrated. It's from some household life or anything that just gives you frustration. Just out of frustration, you're just being detached. The detachment with the knowledge. And another type of detachment is yukta vairagi. One gives up completely, that it doesn't want to use. The yukta vairagi uses material thing, whatever is there, but uses into a Krishna service. That is higher vairagya. It's not, one can just, you can just give everything, be detached. I think I was just hearing, heard the lecture from Mother Yamuna Lila Mataji saying that once Srila Prabhupada was given a photograph of a saintly personality, there's a money there, and then there's the saintly personality is putting his hands and not touching the money. And Prabhupada said, okay, take my photo, but put all the money, I'll just go hold on to it. There's a difference. So one is detaching. It's just for the purpose of, popularity or whatever the reason could be. It's just detaching. So better than that is yukta vairagi. Use that material, the facilities you have, into service of the Krishna. Into a service of the humanity. Service of Krishna. That is even better. That is called yukta vairagi. If you see our Acharya, for example, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, at that time, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was a sannyasi, generally, it's doesn't use all those material facility and it's just supposed to be very simple. That is, that's the general Vedic requirements. Sannyasi just, detaches, is more focused on spiritual. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, he was the one who actually started to use the vehicles or the if you see him, some of his dress and opulence he's using for a preaching purpose. He used to wear this nice coat, and he used to ride the latest the facilities of the vehicle at the time, which was the best. He used to use that, and money was given to him. He used to build the temples. So that is the Yukta Vairagi. That's the using everything that is Krishna. It's not attached to it's not attached to him for his purpose or serving his purpose. He's attached to serving the So these are the example of Yukta Vairagi, the detachment, but yet they're using everything in the Krishna's service. Another examples of we could hear is also a Yukta Vairagi, we can say, is the kings. They could be also, they are also the kings. Generally, kings have all the opulence of the world they can imagine. We're just hearing the narration of Swayambhuva Manu. Yeah? The opulence of Swayambhuva Manu was such a great, such a vast, such a, he had everything he wishes he could imagine. Servants, chariots, kingdom, the palaces, gems, just everything. Yet, even though they're highly opulent and they're using, but what is the purpose? They're using everything that is they have in their disposal is to serve Krishna. The end of the life, we understand the activities of Maharaj Swayambhuva Manu is that daily he used to get the reciting of Srimad Bhagavatam Krishna Katha was daily heard. That is his activities. Every day in the morning, he get up and he would get the people to recite or hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is his activity. So like that, they have utilized, even though they are a king, a royally ordered, they had all the opulences of the world, but they used everything in the service of Krishna. So as another example we could hear is also Ambarish Maharaj from the history of Srimad Bhagavatam. Ambarish Maharaj had everything. And he is the nine process of devotion service. Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pathasivam, Archanam, Vandam. The nine processes. He is the embodiment of all of them altogether. There are personalities who have specialized in one particular of the nine processes of devotion service. For example, servant, the Dasyam, is like we could hear the example of Hanuman, who was a perfect in serving the Lord in the servitor mood. Sakyam, Arjun. So Maharaj Ambarish, he was the embodiment of all the nine processes. He is everything. So these are the Yukta Vairagis. They used everything, whatever position they are in, whatever situation they are in, and they're using in the facilities provided they have, they get used in Krishna's service. That is what is. And Prabhupada did the same thing. Prabhupada was a sannyasi. He was the one of the at the time of one of the richest person you could imagine. He had 108 temples. He had countless number of vehicles, palaces, buildings. If you look at it materially, Prabhupada had a lot of opulence. So what was the Prabhupada's the aim and purpose? It's to use these things to facilitate, serve Krishna. Yeah. So once actually Prabhupada was even asked by a reporter, so why are you traveling in this Rolls Royce? Prabhupada, and why are you staying in this, you know, opulent big hotels? Because Prabhupada was staying in a hotel. Prabhupada said, if I were to live under the tree, would you come? Yes, I can go and live under the tree to my devotional service there. Will you come? Will the people in general come? No. So, yeah, I'm using these facilities I have, but I am not using for my own purpose. Yeah, my purpose is to serve Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. It's not mine. Yeah. This is such a wonderful creation we can see. We can see Krishna's creation. We have the air to breathe. We have water provided to us. We have sunlight provided to us. And such a wonderful creation is there. It's Krishna's creation. Yeah. I was just talking to, we just happened to talk to a colleague of mine when I was working. And we're just describing. We're just sitting in the lunch time. We were sitting next to the window and we were watching outside. It was just the rain was falling. I mean, just was pouring down rain. And he said, "Oh," the colleague of mine said, "Oh, complain." He said, "Oh, this rain, so much raining all the time." And I don't know, just thought came at that time in my mind. Now, rain is required. It is necessary. And without the rain, there's no grain. There's no fruits. There's no vegetable. And I was just also going a little further to describe and said, now, look at the creation of the Lord. It's so wonderful that this rain you're seeing, it's falling from the sky. Yeah? The sky, where is the sky? And the sky is a cloud. Yeah, the cloud is what is it doing? It's the sun is evaporating the water from the sea. That sea water is salty. It's not even used. So what is it evaporating? In the process of evaporation, that whole sea water, which is salty, is been filtered, made into a pure and drinking water, so sweet. And it's taken from the ground. We don't see it. It's taken from the water ocean and then goes into a cloud. It just forms a cloud. The cloud is, I mean, there's millions of liters of water there in the cloud. Yeah, you can put the plane through the cloud, and then there's nothing happens. But yet there's thousands of liters of water there. Can we create such a thing? So then this water is cycled and is given to us from ocean, is going to a cloud. From cloud is given to the ground where it's needed, where people can, you know, plant their food and the grains, vegetables, fruits. And then it also goes into a river that also serves the same similar purpose. There's a whole creation, and it was just describing it. Like, yes, that makes sense. So such a wonderful creation we have such a facility is given to us by a Lord. So we have to learn to use everything in the service of the Lord. That is the jnana vairagya yuktena, and then it is to serve the Lord in the devotional service. And The jnana and vairagya are the sons of, as from this Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmya, it is, we learn that the jnana and vairagya, they are personalities, and bhakti is the mother of the jnana and vairagya. So in order to perform a devotional service, we need that jnana and the vairagya to go to approach our mother or bhakti. That is needed, required. So I just wanted to read a couple of verses that mother, this is my, one of my favorite verses in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Madhavuti is, so this verse is the, which is, it's giving us some indication of what's the detachment leading to bhakti. That is what is. So just read one verse. It is from the chapter 23, verse number 56. Where Mother Devahuti is this is just before the Devahuti has come back from, and she had children and everything. Now just the Kardama Muni is just about to leave her, and then she's lamenting to Kardama Muni and saying that I did not take the advantage of your presence. So I have wasted I should have taken advantage of yourself. I mean, Kardama Muni. So this here is the text number 56, where she says to Kardama Muni, and it is na iha karma dharmaaya na viragaya kalpate na tirtha pada sevaye jivan api mrito hisa. Any work is not meant to elevate himself to elevate him to a religious life. So any work that does not culminate to a religious life, anyone whose religious ritualistic performance do not raise him to a renunciation. So the work that does not culminate to a religious religious life. The religious life that does not culminate to a renunciation. Anyone situated in a renunciation that does not lead him to a devotional service to the Supreme Personality Godhead must be considered dead, although living and breathing. So jivan api mrito hisa. So what is she saying is that any work that is does not culminate to a religious life, any religious life that does not take you to a renunciation or detachment or vairag, and any the renunciation does not take you to the worship of the Lord. Lord is that person is as good as dead. So this is what, and also just I'll conclude here with another verse of Mother Devahuti. This is in the future. That is after Lord Kapila has given her, the instruction instructed for many many chapters. The very last chapter, one of the verse is chapter number 33 and verse number 7. She's glorifying the glories of the holy name. This is the verse. Aho bat swapachato gariyan यज्जिभाग्रे वर्तते नाम तुभ्यं ते पुस्तपस्ते जुहुव स्वस्नुराय ब्रह्मानुचारणं गृणन्ति एते. ओ हाउ ग्लोरियस आर दे दोज टंग्स आर चैंटिंग द होली नेम. Even if born in the family of dog eater, this is what's such a person is worshipable. So even a person who was born completely, so what is he saying? See, those who are chanting, even though they are born in the family of dog eater, which is the lowest you could probably imagine in the Vedic term, they are, such a person are worshipable. Not only, you know, just respect, but he's saying worshipable. Yeah. Person who chants the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all good manners of Aryan. To be chanting the holy name of the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed in the holy places of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required. So here the glories of chanting of the holy name is, this is in the phases of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the glory of the chanting of the holy name. This is what it is recommended. It is the Yoga Dharma, which is the chanting of the holy name. We, being in the being the residents of Kali Yuga, we have this process, which is the chanting of the holy name, which is prescribed for us to do. So I would like to end here. If there's any questions or comments, I'll be happy to take any corrections. Please forgive me. Yes, ma'am.
One comment or view to the Raj. Over give the number of microphone.
Yes, 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 yes.
And you can see evidence. He has built 640 temples around the world.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, very
important. Whatever we have got, even our body we have to use.
That's correct, ma'am. Yes. Yes. Thank you, ma'am.
How do we know somebody is not using, like, on the name of God, their money for their personal desires? When it comes to Yukta Vairagya, that, you know, they are taking all the opulence, but on the name of God, like we see in India, most of the people, like, oh, we are giving to God, but they use for the person. How do we differentiate that they are used in a good way?
The question is, there are some spiritual, I'll just repeat for the online hearers, how do we tell, or how do we know that the opulence, the money is given to a spiritual practitioners being used in a correct where it's supposed to be according to the Vedic. Well, it's hard. It's not easy to detect. I mean, it could, you know, somebody can dress up and or he can give you nice lectures and everything, and he collect a lot of money that is coming into given to him. Through his charisma, through his knowledge or whatever, yet the money could be misused. Yeah, it is difficult. It's not easy to detect. But we have to have a knowledge to say, well, or you could see what the activities of the individuals are doing, if they are actually using it for the purpose or not. And there would be some visibility. For example, if Prabhupada was given the money, you could see that he builds a temple. He has used that. He had even purchased the vehicles, so on and so forth. But these are being used for serving the humanity or serving the serving of the Lord. So you have to be vigilant or try to see what is the progress. If there was money was asked for some purpose, If that is being done, you could probably see it. There could be, you know, that there are instances that some being used and some is not being used, and so on and so forth. But as I said, it's not easy to detect, but the person who takes the money, if it's not used properly, there will be some consequences from the law of karma and so on and so forth. So unfortunately, he or she taking that advantage of the popularity or not using the money which is being used will have some consequences either now or later. So,
about the money also,
Yeah.
If somebody takes money and uses
Yes, yes.
Whatever money you can pay.
Yeah.
It was very...
Actually, in fact, I was just looking at the on the notice board there. If you look at it, this side, there's where Sunday feast notice board is put it there.
Yeah.
If you go and have a look at there, you'll see Srila Prabhupada's diary from 1965. How every penny he received, he calculated there, he put it there. Every expenses he made, he's also recorded there. So there is a purity, you know, that there's a sincerity what Prabhupada, initial days, of course, he was by himself, alone. And then, this every penny was scheduled. Even later on, I mean, he had a lot of opulence. There was still a good management of tracking the money which was being utilized.
How difficult Prabhupada was when he was publishing BTG? He used to go himself to Chani Chowk and he was hit by a cow. So he had such difficulty, still he managed to open the centers and preaching throughout the world. No money, he went to USA.
Correct.
Marathi, Sumati Marathis. So we have to see in his life, he's a real Acharya.
Yes.
Who has given us so much knowledge.
Yeah.
We have to be indebted all over.
Acharya means that one who lives by example. That is one of the definitions of Acharya. So Srila Prabhupada is Acharya. He's given us everything from the how to utilize the money, from learning the scriptures and so on and so forth, and how to. Yes. Any other comments, questions? Yes,
how would we know that current gurus or gurus or Maharaj would carry the same legacy which was carried by Srila Prabhupada, that it is going on the same way, with the same level and same transparency? How do we understand this?
So the question is, how do we know the lineage or the caliber or the what Srila Prabhupada has given us being carried on the next level or by our current. In general principle, one of the ways to know that if it's genuinity, to judge the genuinity, is if the knowledge is speaking is through the guru, shastra, and sadhu. So, if the knowledge is supported by shastra, that is, it is genuine. And also, you can by the others, you can see. So, of course, I mean, it's Prabhupada was just one of the Acharya. It's na bhuto na bhavishyati, my father used to say. It's like what Prabhupada has done for the humanity, what the caliber or the expertise of the knowledge of the Vedas and everything. It's I think it's hard. We will not find anyone at this day and age at this point. So you cannot compare, okay, can we have the same caliber, same personality as depth as Srila Prabhupada? Maybe not. No, I mean, maybe in the future, Narayana Krishna. But the teachings has to be corrected or judged by Guru Shastra and Sadhu. If this, whatever they're speaking and whatever they're doing, if it's according to that, and yeah, that is authorized.
Also on that point, Guru should be from Parampara.
Yes, yes.
Bona fide spiritual master. Yes. Not any Guru in India. There are so many Gurus.
Yeah.
You have to choose bona fide spiritual master.
Okay, we'll end here. Srimad Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Jai Gaur Premanande.